So this morning I've chosen a passage from John chapter 4 in which Jesus has an encounter with a foreigner. He has a conversation with her, and he offers her something pretty important, but she doesn't realize how important that thing really is. It's only when Jesus lifts the curtain of her personal life does she realize that it is in her best interest to drink this living water. So the question, the title of my sermon is a question: do you have faith to drink the living water? And if you look at John chapter 4, we'll pick the story up here in verse 1. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but it was his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. He came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" "For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us his well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go back. Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you've had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Jesus declared, "I, who speak to you, am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. What an incredible encounter. What an incredible story. What an incredible conversation that Jesus had with this woman. And it's important for us to understand some background information before we dive in to some important observations. The text states that Jews do not associate with Samaritans. And there's a long history behind that. Israel and the Samaritans were one time one nation. They were united together. But the Samaritans, the Jews who lived in Samaria, had begun to intermarry with foreigners. And they began worshiping foreign gods. It came to a point where the Samaritans did not even recognize God's revelation in the southern kingdom of Jerusalem. And they thought, no, we don't need to worship in Jerusalem, we can worship right here. Even though the word of God said they need to worship in Jerusalem. And so the Jewish people of the southern kingdom separated themselves from the Samaritans. And in fact, many Jews to keep themselves spiritually pure would not have even traveled through Samaria in Jesus' day. So there was a deep divide between these people. The other thing to understand is that in that generation, in that time, water was a big issue. You know, when we think about water, if you want water, what do? You just go to the tap and turn it on. Or you go to the store and you buy bottles of water. In that time, water, you couldn't get it in your house. You had to leave your house and carry huge water jars. Some people had to walk miles just to get to a well of fresh water. It took a lot of time and energy to supply a family with the water that they needed. Water is a unique substance found only on planet Earth. It sustains all life. Without a supply of water, human beings will die. And in fact, when they peer into outer space and they are searching for a planet which mankind can inhabit, the first thing they look for is there a supply of water? This is how important water was in that generation. Jesus comes to this woman and asks her for a drink. She's quite alarmed because she recognizes that Jesus is a Jew, and she's taken back by his request. Because if she gave him something to drink, it meant that this Jew would be drinking from a utensil that belonged to a Samaritan. And in that culture, that was not allowed. She was shocked that he would be asking her for a drink of water. And then Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And the woman begins to be curious about what Jesus is saying. Living water, she thinks. I'm never going to thirst again. She said, where can I get that living water? Because she was concerned purely about her physical needs. See, she wanted a water cooler in her home. And she thought that Jesus was going to come and install one. She wouldn't have to keep walking out there every single day to get water. The first major observation I think we can make from this conversation is that there are two dimensions to our lives. There's a physical dimension and a spiritual dimension. We have both physical and spiritual needs. But this is a very difficult concept to embrace because we are bombarded every day and we are more aware of our physical needs than we are of our spiritual needs. Physical needs include things like hunger, thirst, security, safety. These are very important needs that every human being is concerned about. But Jesus brings up the other dimension with this woman. He talks about the spiritual. And he offers her something that really is amazing. Eternal life. Eternal life. What did he tell her? He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, Jesus is saying, if you knew. What is he saying to her? I think Jesus is saying that this woman was ignorant of spiritual truth. He said, if you knew the gift of God, what is the gift of God? The gift of God is eternal life. An opportunity to live forever. To live forever. And many of us don't even realize that this gift actually exists. That it is something tangible. It is something that can be acquired. It is something more precious than anything you can ever desire. We live in a perpetual state of insecurity, wondering what will happen to us when we die. Many people can't even articulate definitively what's going to happen to you when you die. We all know we're going to die. Because we've seen people die. We know we're not going to live forever. And I know there was a period in my life when I was constantly insecure. What's going to happen to me after? And we don't realize that just as we search for gifts of value, that we too must also search for the gift that God wants to give everyone. What is that gift? Eternal life. Do you have it? Do you want it? Do you desire to have that gift of eternal life? You know something about this lady? Eternal life was not even on her radar. She did not come to that well looking for eternal life. She came to that well in search for water. Why have you come here today? Why are you here? Some of you have come because your parents got you out of bed and dragged you here. If that didn't happen, you'd be at home checking your Facebook page. Some of you may be here because somebody pestered you, invited you to come, said please come, in order to get that pesky person off your back. You decided to show up. Some of you are here because there's a cute guy or a cute girl here that you're interested in.
Come on.
And you're not paying any attention to anything I'm saying right now. You're looking and you're going, But you are not paying attention to a word I've said. Even if I asked you what scripture did I read, you wouldn't even know. Because you're thinking about that girl or that guy that you'd like to go have a conversation with after church.
Come on.
And some of you may have come because you heard that there was food. They are having food. What is happening after church? Food? And you're talking about an international cuisine? And it's free? Oh, I'm coming to that church. That's the place for me. I like those people. Free food after church. So you're here, and when my wife was talking about the food earlier, you're like, I just can't wait. Your saliva glands have been activated an hour ago, and you're just ready. There are many different reasons why you may have come here today. But how many of you came in the hope that you would find eternal life? How many of you came here looking for that? How many of you came here wanting to secure your grip on eternal life? That's the question. Because eternal life is an opportunity that we all have. It's given to all men and women. The opportunity is that we can get to live forever in the presence of God. You see, we believe that it's God who breathed life into us, and we've experienced life here on earth, and in the midst of all the craziness and all the chaos that's going on in our society and in the world, most of us still want to live. We still want to see tomorrow. We value our lives, even though we've done nothing to get it. It's a gift that was given to us by God. And the fact is that our life, our very being, is most precious to us. But you know, in this conversation, this woman went suddenly from being in a state of ignorance about this gift to quite dramatically being in a state of awareness. Did you see when that happened? Did you see when she was so completely dull spiritually? And then all of a sudden, it's like the lights went on. You know when that point of enlightenment came? It came when Jesus started to ask her about her personal life. Here's the text. He said, go and call your husband. She said in verse 17, I have no husband. Jesus said, you are right. When you say you have no husband, the fact is that you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. After he said that, look at what she said. What? I see you're a prophet. She realized right then and there that this was a different kind of individual that she's speaking to. But it was only when Jesus pulled back the curtain of her personal life, when she was confronted with the truth of her life, did she realize she had a spiritual need. You know, many people in this world live chaotic lives, just like this woman. She's had sexual relations with five men. And the man that she's now living with, she's not even married to. That is common now in our society. It's almost now a thing to be celebrated. But that's the chaos. That's the inner conflict and turmoil that has now become accepted in our society. There are major issues of conflict between parent and child in our society right now. We carry around deep resentments towards relatives and others who are around us. Some are suffocating with jealousy and envy at the lives that they see other people living on Facebook and on Instagram. Some of us are constantly seeking an escape from our reality. That's why we turn to drugs and alcohol and marijuana, because we can't deal with the chaos in our lives. And some, like this woman, just have multiple sexual partners. We live like this, and we think it's okay. And we suffer inside because we cannot talk about this. We can't talk about this. Who do you talk to? Who does this woman talk to about the internal chaos that she's facing? And Jesus pierces the darkness of this woman's soul by asking her to give an account for the choices that she's made. Five husbands, and the man she now is living with is not her husband. You see, I believe that there was something inside this woman's soul that was making her unhappy about all these relationships that she had. I think she was searching for something and thirsting for something that she thought she could find in male relationship. She was drinking water from a well that was poisoning her soul. Jesus had to confront this woman with the choices that she was making. And that, my friend, was when the light of truth pierced her mind and her heart, and she realized, this man who is in my presence is a prophet. But he was more than a prophet. She was yet to come to that conviction of who he really was. If Jesus pulled back the curtain in your life today, what would he find? What would he find? And how would you account for the choices that you've made? For the well that's been poisoning your soul? How would you account for that? I want to end today by taking a closer look at the great declaration of truth that Jesus made to this woman at the end of this conversation. He said, yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. But they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. This is a profound declaration that Jesus made. It's important for us all to look carefully at what Jesus is saying here. The food's coming. You're being fed right now. Spiritual food. He says, the true worshiper will worship God in spirit and in truth. But these are the kind of worshipers the Father sees. What God is looking for is men and women who want to worship him in spirit and truth. What does that mean? Well, Jesus sort of explains it here. God is spirit. It means that we've got to realize that God cannot be seen with our human eyes. He's spirit, but he can be sought, he can be connected to, and we can learn about God through his word. And I think many people want to have a relationship with God. In fact, I think deep down inside, there's a part of us that will always thirst and will continue to thirst until we drink from that living water that comes from God. But he says he wants people who are going to worship in truth as well. But what is he talking about? He's talking about being honest with our lives. I believe that's what he's talking about. Being honest with our lives. You know, there are a lot of people going to churches and they clap and they look good and they have all the outward expressions of a worshiper. But inside, their lives are no better than this woman. They're living chaotic lives inside. Their lives do not please God. But they don't want to talk about what's going on behind the curtain. So they dress up. And they give the impression everything is good. But that's not true. It's not being honest. What is God looking for? God's looking for people who want to have a relationship with him. But he's also looking for people who are willing to acknowledge the truth of their lives. That is what Jesus said to this woman. Yes, what you have just said is quite true. And the question is, are you this morning the kind of worshiper that God is seeking? Do you worship God in spirit and truth? Do you acknowledge what's going on in your private life? Or is it just something, is it just a can you keep kicking down the road in the hope that one day everything is all going to go away? I'm going to tell you something. Things do not just go away. You've got to face what's going on confront what's going on in your life with the power of God. I love this woman because of her response. She could have gotten real defensive here. Hey, who are you? I just met you. Who are you to come into my life and talk about stuff like that? Hello. She could have put her hand on the hip. You know what I'm saying? Or she could have walked away in silence. Look, man. Forget you. I'm here for water. She didn't. Because she drank that living water that Jesus was offering her. There was something in her that took hold of that opportunity, and she drank. She drank of that living water, and we actually see the fulfillment of what Jesus said come true. Because as she's drinking this living water, she's so excited. She gets so fired up, something in her is awakened. And she heads back to the town and she tells everybody, you gotta come see Jesus! You know what she did? She left the water jar right there! But then she called for water! Yeah, but she got something greater than water! She got living water, and it enlightened her mind! And quenched the thirst that she had inside. And she went right away to tell others about that living water. You've got to love this woman's response. So this morning, we assert and affirm this great truth in your hearing, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the chosen one of God. And that His gift for you is living water. And I affirm to you today that if you drink of this water, you will never thirst again.
Come on.
It will change your life. And if you want this living water, it is here in the form of Jesus' teaching. And I want to encourage you to ask the person who brought you here the same question this woman asked Jesus. Where can I go to find this living water? Just if that's what you want, if you want to live forever, you want to come to Jesus for His answer, ask the person who brought you here, show me where I can find this living water. And we will show you from the scriptures the teachings of Jesus and how you can seize this opportunity for eternal life. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful for this passage that we looked at. We're thankful for this conversation that's recorded for us to take a look at and to learn. Father, we just pray. We know that there are men and women who are in this auditorium right now who may be searching for this living water. We pray that they would have the courage to be able to ask, where can they get it? We also want to pray for those who already have drunk of the living water. I pray, God, that we not allow Satan to devalue what we have. That we would make every effort to keep drinking from that stream so that it will become a spring in us, just like it became a spring in this woman, and that she went to others. Share that spring of water of eternal life with others. Help us to see and to value what we've been given and to share it with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.